You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. There we go. A couple of words into the back from vacation, and I can't say Wisconsin. Hey, Wisconsin, good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, February 17th. 2025, 5 days until the Brewers' first spring training game, 5.5 weeks until the season opener, and the home opener is 6 weeks from today. We need that. We need that warm thought on a morning like this, another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or watching us on Facebook or YouTube, thanks for starting your day right here. The typical first question is whether, you know, the old cold enough for you. Yeah, more than cold enough. It's 7 below here in Chippewa Falls right now. 8 below in Hayward, minus 11 in Amory. Wausau is checking in at 4 below. La Crosse is at 4 below. Green Bay is minus 2. Waukesha is 2 below. And it's 1 degree above zero at Tropical Radio Park, where for the first time in over a week, I'm not the most tropical one here. It would be Greg Bach, who's found us some nice Dominican Republic music to play for us. So welcome me back from the beach. And by the way, no temperature reports from Wisconsin Rapids or Madison, where the thermometers have apparently just frozen up. So I'm back.
Welcome winter, back, buddy.
Winter's here. We got in Saturday night about midnight. Ugh. And you know, we hadn't had the driveway done or anything. So imagine it's midnight. We've been flying all day. We've been driving for 2 hours from the airport. And we see a half a foot of snow in the driveway. And so we just opened up the garage door on the remote. And then we just punched it. We're like, yep. You know, the neighbors are going to be embarrassed if they find that our car got stuck in the at the front, you know, where the snow plow puts all the stuff there.
Yeah.
Not, we looked like one of those car commercials. We just like burst right through the snowbank. No, we are going to sleep, and we're going to sleep now. And we did. And then yesterday was a celebration of laundry and getting the sand out of your suitcases. But it was great. And I tuned in Civic Media Mornings with Bach and the Doc, and you guys sounded fantastic. Thank you for filling in.
Thank you for, it was a lot of fun. Dr. Lyerly is fantastic. We had a great time. Thank you for allowing us to helm the show for you. And Todd was great as well. Todd, yes, is always wonderful to have on the show. We had a really good time, but we missed you a lot. We talked about you a lot, and we're glad you're back.
I do recall hearing Kristen on the first day saying something about filling in for me, and so she's got her plaid shirt on as a result. And I haven't looked to see if she put up a video of it, because I can't picture Kristen with a plaid shirt. She's normally very nicely dressed as those doctor types are. Yeah. So I guess you just have an up north one. So let's see. Tony writes in on YouTube already. Pat, you tan son of a gun. Welcome back. Yep. And he also noted that Dr. Lyerly got a lot of live guests. Look, Tony, there's a lot of people. When Dr. Lyerly asks you to do something at 6:30 in the morning, people are going to say yes. Whereas the guests I reach out to go, oh, God, 6:30? Oh, that's... It's really early, so which is why we do a lot of those taped in the afternoon. But Dr. Lyerly is a much more persuasive person, apparently. But yes, had some great guests.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
What a nice roster for you all. And then I'd look at the headlines every now and then. And then I'd put my phone back. Ugh. I'd put my phone back in the beach bag, and I'd shut my eyes for a little bit longer. So it was great. What Sherry and I have gotten into the habit of doing as empty nesters now is that, you know, we talk about the grandkids all the time. We love our daughters. We love our grandkids. We go see them in Idaho. We go see them in Michigan. You know, we do all kinds of things around Christmas time. So then there is that 1 week in the middle of winter where we just get to be a couple.
Yep.
And we go find a resort that usually it's a complex, like this one was through a company called Iberostar, where they do have a family resort, and then they have one that's a not family resort. And that's it was just all we want.
Yep.
All we want is quiet. We just want to sit on the beach, hear the waves, and not hear, mom,
boom,
mom,
boom, look at this, mom. Mommy, boom, boom, hi.
No.
Yeah.
We love the kids, but we just, and this place would have, like, you know, they called them butlers, but I mean, they're just there to, like, concierge, you know, whatever you want to call it. And every so often they'd be like, do you guys need anything? And we'd always be like, no. They always look disappointed. Like apparently a lot of their guests must be very demanding at this resort. Because we were just like, no, we have a spot on the beach. We're happy, kind of a like a mini cabana type of thing, you know, where it's just more of like a, I don't know, a glorified lawn chair with some covering over it.
Yeah.
And it's just what you need. And it's just what I needed, was just to recharge the batteries.
Well, I'm glad you did that. That's very, very important to do. I mean, if you look up the statistics on America and our lack of ability to take vacations, I mean, we stock up hundreds of millions of hours a year of vacation. And it's really, and I want to give a little shout out to Civic Media really quick, because Civic Media, has always been, since I've been here, has said, you have PTO time. Take it.
Yes.
Go. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. Take a break. Rest yourself, because we don't want you burning out. We don't want you melting down. So it's important to take a vacation, but it's also important to have a company that you work for who encourages you to do so, versus the opposite, where they make you feel bad or make you take your work laptop and be like, well, aren't you going to be accessible while you're out of town? No, I'm on vacation.
Yes. So. I bring my work laptop on a lot of, you know, trips to visit the kids and grandkids, all kinds of other things. But for this 1 week, I don't bring the work laptop. I don't answer any emails, and it's just great. And Courier Newsroom is the same way. We won't have, you know, it's Monday, but we won't have Selena Heller on, because Courier, it's President's Day. It's a holiday. And I was like, Selena, you deserve like an actual holiday. So take that, and we'll check in with Selena on Wednesday of this week. And Courier, like Civic, it doesn't like track vacation days to the minute.
Yeah.
You know, like you owe us 3/4 of a vacation day or something. It's like, no, if you need the time, take the time. And people go, well, wait, people just take unlimited vacation. No. People use it responsibly because they like the privilege. And for anybody that abuses it, it's pretty clear they're going to be, you know, they're going to have shortcomings in their work in other areas. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're going to get fired for too much PTO.
Yeah.
if they get cut, it's going to be for plenty of other reasons.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have PTO be a part of it. So any place that's considering a personal time off policy, I'd highly recommend it. It's right up in that category with free school lunch. Why even pay for all the administrative costs? And the same goes for vacation days. There's just some things where the administrative cost is not worth it. Mm-hmm. Just do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I'm glad we got to do that. You got to do that recently with your trip. Dr. Lyerly did hers in, on a different Caribbean island.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to put your toes in the sand and, you know, have a nice little, drinky drink now and then. Because many a time on these vacations, I will quote Mr. Garth Brooks and go with two pina coladas, one for each hand.
Nice.
And Sherry will say, what'd you bring me? I'm like, well, your mudslide is sitting over there on the bar there. So you can just, because it's a swim up bar, so you can just go get it.
That's
you
nice.
So we got back. We did get the driveway plowed. We got everything unpacked and plopped down last night for the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary, which I know you did not see. You were working last night.
Yeah, I was working last night, but I was surprised by what I saw as far as like available clips throughout the night on YouTube. Mm-hmm. That I thought it was going to be a gala event of like star-studded whatevers and let's look back on our thing. But it was, from what you said, it was a live event. It was live sketches.
It was a regular Saturday Night Live show, a new show with a whole lot of live sketches with all kinds of guest stars from, you know, the old casts, from, you know, celebrities and things like that. So without meaning to, you know, ruin, I'm sure you're going to catch it tonight and you're going to love it. But for a lot of folks who did watch it, let me spoil a thing or two here. Like the way that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler handled, they did a little Q&A with the audience.
Yeah.
The audience was all VIPs. Okay, yeah. Everybody was dressed up in tuxes. They did a red carpet show and everything else. And at one point, somebody, I forget if it was John Hamm or somebody, saying, Tina, Amy, this Q&A just seems like a gratuitous effort to include people who otherwise didn't get to take part in one of the skits. And they're like, no, why would you say that? You know, meanwhile, John Lovitz sends in a question because he's sitting at an American Girl doll store across the street. That's the closest seat he could get to it. Keith Richards was there in the audience.
Weird.
With a Q&A that involved Zach Galifianakis. I believe it was Meryl Streep's first ever Saturday Night Live appearance. And she did a bit with Kate McKinnon as the space alien, you know, that gets when they abduct you. She plays Kate McKinnon's mom. They're dressed the same. Meryl Streep telling the stories that we really can't share on morning radio about the Kate McKinnon character being abducted by the aliens. Hilarious. Just so great.
How has Meryl Streep never hosted SNL?
I don't know, but it might. Again, I could be wrong, but I'm going off of a social media post that I saw there.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda played up something big as part of course, John Mulaney. There always has to be a whole big musical number about New York City.
Yes.
You know, with Pizza Rat and, you know, everything else in there. Lorraine Newman from the original cast had a great bit with Pete Davidson playing the Chad character that he likes to play.
Okay.
And a lot of crew shout outs. I will say that if you ever watch carefully, when they go to commercial after a bit where the guest host has been in a skit, there's usually a woman with a clipboard who runs the guest off really fast.
Yep.
Well, they introduced her last night. You know, it's she's the one that has to get them into their next costume and everything. The nurse and everything else. The best, to me, one of the funniest things was Tracy Morgan was part of Black Jeopardy. And next to him as a contestant was Eddie Murphy. Yeah. Playing Tracy Morgan.
I saw it. I can't wait to watch it tonight. That's going to be so much fun.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And honestly, it was a three-hour show. They could have stopped after 2 hours because Adam Sandler wrote a song about SNL. It brought the house down.
Of course it was.
Beautiful song. And you should end it right there, but of course it being TV. Ah, we got another hour and a half.
Let's do this. We paid for it.
We paid for it. We know the later sketches aren't as good, but we're going to run them anyway. Back with more right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Not just playing Peaceful Easy Feeling for coming back from the beach, but also because a particular Eagles album is part of today's history lesson. That is coming up in 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. Kristen Lyerly coming along in about 15 minutes as well. Turns out I didn't miss a lot for sports because of either spring breaks for colleges or the NBA All-Star break. The Bucks will not be back in action until Thursday, when they host the LA Clippers. Let's see, the Badger men's basketball team is now ranked 16th in the country. And on Saturday, they defeated the 7th-ranked team in the country, Purdue. So the Badger men are in 4th place in the Big Ten, not far behind Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan. And the top 4 teams, that's where you want to be, because they'll get a bye in the first 2 rounds of the 5-round conference tournament that'll take place next month. That's right, Selection Sunday. was a month from yesterday. So we're in the final month of college basketball before the whole tournament fever begins. The Badger men will next play tomorrow, and it's against Illinois. Coverage will begin at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The Marquette men's basketball team, they've been on a bit of a losing streak, apparently, while I was away. 18th ranked in the country now. They will wrap up a week off by hosting Seton Hall tomorrow. The top-ranked Badger women's hockey team was off all last week for spring break. They will next be in action Friday and Saturday afternoons at Bemidji State. And the Badger men's hockey team, they lost both their games at Ohio State over the weekend. Ohio State, the eighth-ranked team in the nation. The Badger men's hockey team will wrap up the regular season with games against Notre Dame this coming Friday and Saturday. And you can catch those games on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and looks like they'll probably be the number six seed in the Big Ten Conference Tournament next month. So there's a little bit of sports to pass along to you. Tomorrow is Election Day in Wisconsin. And I know it's going to be really cold yet again, but you should still make a plan to vote nonetheless, because there is one particularly important primary election tomorrow, and that would be for state superintendent. And you might recall that before vacation, we got a chance to talk to two of the candidates. There is the incumbent state superintendent, Jill Underley, joined us, as did Jeff Wright, who is the principal in Sauk Prairie, and who talked a bit about the reasons why he's running for state superintendent. And then the third candidate, Brittany Kinzer, we were not able to convince her to appear on the show. A lot has come out over the past few days. She had a tremendous fundraising haul from conservative and Republican causes, especially those in favor of voucher and charter schools, something that she has been advocating for throughout her professional career. So needless to say, a whole lot of conservatives, a whole lot of folks looking to attack public education will be voting for Brittany Kinzer in tomorrow's primary. The top two of those vote getters, between Brittany Kinzer, Jeff Wright, and Jill Underley, will advance to the April 1st general election. Again, it being a nonpartisan election, it just means the top two candidates move on to April 1st. No primary is necessary in the state Supreme Court race because there were only the two candidates. There's Susan Crawford, the Dane County judge, and then there's Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel, the former Wisconsin Attorney General. And boy, if there's one thing I didn't miss while I was gone, it's that the commercials between those two campaigns have really heated up from the campaigns, from independent groups and things like that. And again, they look rather, you know, typical for a Supreme Court race from the Schimmel side, that in the case of Judge Susan Crawford, for the many, many cases that she's handled, for the all the work that she's done over the years with various groups and, you know, with the Doyle administration as governor and things like that, and what they choose to run the commercials on are a particular case involving accused sexual assault. And let's just say that you can make a lot of accusations in 30 seconds. And then when you actually look at what the case was and what the case all involved, you can see how what was said in those 30 seconds is, shall we say, stretching credulity in terms of what Brad Schimmel has to reach for to say something about Susan Crawford. Whereas what the Crawford campaign is saying about Brad Schimmel, well, it's just there. Brad Schimmel went 2+ years as Wisconsin Attorney General with almost no rape kits being tested, and without him showing any leadership looking for additional state funds to get that backlog of test kits done, and instead doing very little to advocate for the for those potential victims of sexual assault. So the Crawford campaign's been hammering away at that. So again, on April 1st, it'll be those two along with whichever are the top two vote getters tomorrow and the primary election. Find out what else might be on your ballot. There are a few other local primary races out there. Go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more. Now, when I mentioned that I would occasionally look at the phone and look at headlines, and Greg said, well, he makes a good point, because my note for this hour's episode, you can always find every episode at civicmedia.us, says our humble host returns after a week on a Caribbean beach to find out whether he missed anything important while he was away. I mean, it's not like Robert Kennedy Jr. actually got confirmed, right? It's not like Tulsi Gabbard actually got confirmed, right? It's not like Google Maps caved on that silly Gulf of America name, right? It's not like the world's richest man shut down multiple government agencies that protect consumers, agencies that would have investigated his crooked business dealings, right? Right? No? Because if those things actually happened, shouldn't we all consider taking more time to unplug from the news and from a hostile attack on our own government? Because that's where we appear to be right now. All of those things actually did happen. And much more that I don't even possibly have time to get into. But I do know that Jennifer Schulze will be here in just over an hour to talk about what Democrats ought to be doing about this. The daily dose of real American values, the daily dose of messaging about the impact on Wisconsin families, on your family, and what the alternative might be. Kristen Lierley is next. You're up north. Let's make clear here that the sound of my voice right now has never disappointed so many people who are expecting to hear Kristen Lierley's voice coming next after hearing her intro music all of last week. But believe it or not, she came back for more anyway in her usual Monday morning slot for us. Dr. Lierley, good morning and thank you.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome home, Pat. We missed you.
I didn't miss this at all. It was.
Well, hey, Doc, there's an opening, I guess.
No, from a vacation standpoint. But I tuned in each day, at least, you know, briefly to hear how things were going. I heard Craigers was on for one day, your partner, Craig. How did he like that?
He was. It's so out of his realm of comfort. But he did such a good job. How often do you get to hear an actual police officer just talking like a regular person? I mean, I do every day, but he's so good. He's so real.
That's great.
I like Greg.
Look at that. And I like on your on-screen credit here, Dr. Kristen Lierley now says co-host, Boxing the Doc. for future reference, and maybe not that deep into the future. One never knows. So
Big things on the horizon, that's for sure.
Yeah. I've learned here I don't have to worry as much as I used to about having to shave every day. This is like almost a week's worth of stuff here, and you can't even really tell that the
that's
old vacation
adorable.
Beard is growing in. I know. It's like I don't have to be as fastidious about personal hygiene, apparently.
I love that the two of you are having this conversation when Pat's been trying to grow a beard for a week and Greg is like blessed with this bountiful harvest of
beard. I actually
beard.
Shaved on Saturday. This is just
See, that's all. It's just like, what's his face in the Santa Claus movie?
Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I tell you, like, I'll have. Especially when I worked at the brewery, I would have a lot of guys come to me and say, and like my beard's long now, but my beard used to be very long. And guys would be like, oh my God, the beard is just amazing, man. How do you do it? And I just would look at them and I would say, it's a prison of my own design.
You know what this is making me really, really want to see is a picture of you clean shaven.
Oh, I can send it to you right now.
Yeah.
He's a handsome
You guys talk.
Fella.
I can do this right now.
Okay, yeah, you just take your phone and run with that. So you have since returned back up to the Iron Range there to do that doctor stuff that you do otherwise. And dare I ask what the temperature is like up there in beautiful Hibbing? Because I know we're sitting here at, what did I say, -7, something like that? 7 below here in Chippewa Falls right now. And let's see, Amory's at -11, Hayward's at -8. So everybody's below zero. Wind chills are dangerous. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So
yes. -16 right
okay.
now.
Okay.
That's our air temperature. I was just downstairs. I live in a hotel when I'm here. And I was just downstairs getting some coffee. And the woman who prepares our food in the morning said, yeah, it's been so cold. I haven't even been able to get out on my snowmobile. But this weekend, they're planning a whole big trip this weekend. So when somebody on the Iron Range tells you it's cold, it's cold.
Yes. Yes. By all means, listen to them there. So, but now you've had a chance to weigh the two, you know, work as a radio host, work as a doctor. I mean, do you think you could, you know, maybe come to terms with doing both, you know, more on a more balanced basis?
Is this a job interview or something? What am I sitting
in on? Could you take that level of a pay cut? Or
you know, I got to deliver a baby yesterday that I had been, it was an induction that went all weekend long, and finally she decided to come out in a blaze of glory. And after I walked away, having congratulated the parents, I just thought to myself, this is the best job on earth.
Aww.
We sat here and waited, and there was so much anxiety and crazy stuff going on, and it was exciting and it was uncomfortable and all these emotions. And then the delivery itself was exciting and terrifying, and the whole hospital was watching and it was crazy, but we got this beautiful baby girl out of it. And I know that I love being in these situations because I know that I'm good at it, and I know that I'm helpful, and I make my patients feel comfortable and give them a good experience. So I love hanging out with you, Pat, but my real job is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes, we totally understand. We love that you do that, both for your patients and occasionally on the radio when we do talk about healthcare or healthcare-related issues that are in the news. I mean, earlier we were talking about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race, mm-hmm. and obviously with Brad Schimmel, we talked all about, you know, the things he did as Attorney General. But I guess now in his ads, he's also talking about his adopted daughters in a way that, you know, again, everybody can be proud of their family, but it's the context with which you're bringing up your family and your campaign ads that can be, you know, different, shall we say.
I think it's great that he has his family in an ad. I think it's really uncomfortable that it's his adoptive daughters in an ad about reproductive non-rights, about his stance on abortion. It's very uncomfortable. And my friends and colleagues who are either adoptive parents or were adopted themselves find it offensive. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, again, there's nothing wrong with talking about adoption as an alternative out there. But to put it out there as, well, adoption's available, so you don't really need your full slate of reproductive health care rights, mm-hmm. Which is where Brad Schimmel would come down if he were elected to the Supreme Court, that's another matter.
Yeah. It's that whole hero thing. Like, look at me. What a good man I am. I am a hero. I adopted these beautiful children, and they are beautiful women. But the alternative is, I want to take away your rights, and I don't want you to have the freedom to make your own decisions. These are complicated decisions, and families have to develop the way that they need to develop. And the only people who can make those decisions are the people who are in those situations. So I found this commercial to be really, just really, you know, he missed the mark.
A little off-putting. Mm-hmm. Doesn't quite give you, again, the whole thing. And here's what's important to note. Throughout the last year's campaign, people said, oh, well, Trump wouldn't actually do this. Trump wouldn't actually do that. And in the years before the Dobbs decision, oh, the Supreme Court wouldn't go that far. If there's anything that should be apparent by now, it's that there's really nothing to it when people go, oh, you're being an alarmist. No, I don't think that charge really holds water anymore when you can see what certain people will actually do now when they acquire power. They will go as extreme as some of us had been warning you that they would go.
Believe what they say when they say it.
Yeah.
I think that that's one of the things that I've heard most from people who have voted for Trump, and now they're finding that they were sold a false bill of goods. You know, they didn't believe it. They thought it was just entertainment. But now that prices are going up, inflation is going up, things are being taken away from them. Services, Head Start, Meals on Wheels, cancer research. They're starting to see these things and they're getting uncomfortable.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, in just my very sporadic peeking through things, you'd see the occasional posts of, you know, I voted for Trump, and but I didn't vote to be laid off from my job. And, oh, this tariff is going to hurt me. And look at the case yesterday came up that the Trump administration is trying to rehire some of the nuclear staff that was responsible for overseeing the nuclear weapons stockpile, because they just think, oh, Department of Energy, we don't need a Department of Energy. It's not just the Department of Energy. It's the Department of the U.S. nuclear stockpile is in the Department of Energy. So when you're just cutting willy-nilly, all these folks are learning, hey, that's important. That grant is important. That support check for my farm is important. And these were the things that, again, they always think are going to happen to somebody else until they don't.
Yeah, it's not transactional. You know, like if you don't get that thing right now, you feel it. But a lot of these things are things that are meant to prevent things from happening down the road. And what I think about is, we keep hearing about measles outbreaks, and we know that bird flu is now in dairy cattle, and actually has been, but the CDC hasn't been able to release that information because of government interference. So when the CDC can act and can quash these things where they're happening at their root, they don't spread. But right now what we're seeing is the CDC can't act and things are spreading. And we don't know where it's going to go from here, but history does tell us that if we can't take care of these things at their roots, then they turn into much bigger public health problems.
Oh, and we're seeing that, of course, with USAID as well, with USAID. And where I think this is all going, and believe me, this is the most hopeful scenario I can offer you, is that sometime down the road here, and it's going to be at least a couple months or more, you're going to have Republicans in Congress who have learned enough, they have seen enough. And so they're going to pass measures that call for the reinstatement of these things that my constituents really want, and they didn't know that they were actually going to have happen to them. Mm-hmm. And so they will be restored, and Trump will sign them saying, yes, I'm happy to restore these things, because now that we've done this cutback, we're now restoring the things that are really important. And that's not actually going to be the case. They're restoring the things where people squawked loud enough. And again, they're restoring the things for people who have a voice. They have a congressman that they can talk to. They have donors who are talking to them. A whole lot of people who don't have voice, who don't have access to power, the things that hurt them are not going to be restored, and people are going to be in a world of hurt for a while here.
That's really true. But we all do have the opportunity to squawk, right? We all can organize, and we can go to our congressmen, we can call them, we can write them letters. It is important that they hear from you. Now is the time. Remember, they have to get reelected every 2 years. So once this first 100 days is over and they are feeling the heat, and personally, they're going to be feeling that heat, they are going to be trying to win your favor back. So do use your voice. Don't feel like it doesn't matter, because it absolutely does, now more than ever.
Yeah. And a reminder that Jennifer Schulze will be here just after 7:30, and we'll be talking about her new column on Substack, which is all about how Democrats need to be back into the daily messaging game. And she bases it on the COVID pandemic, when folks will recall, apparently not enough people recalled, that every day Trump would get in the press briefing room at the White House and he would just rant. You know, remember he talked about, you know, putting disinfectant in the body or shining a light into the body. You know, he was just the complete rambling. And what Democratic governors were doing and local officials, they were holding daily briefings as well that were rooted in, you know, facts and science and the actual logistics of what they were doing to fight the pandemic. And Jennifer's going to make the case that there's ample room for that again. For I know I've seen, maybe you've seen these posts as well, people saying, you know, somebody like a Pete Buttigieg should be on camera every single day, kind of translating what is actually going on and the way that it's impacting, you know, real folks here in Wisconsin, real businesses and things like that, and get into that daily messaging game and stop letting Trump and Elon Musk own the news cycle.
But you also have to recognize that Trump is doing some genius things that really get people's attention. For example, the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl. He goes to these places. He makes a big splash. This is what he is great at, selling himself. It's nothing. It's meaningless. It has no impact on policy or on your daily lives, but it does get people's attention.
It's not just meaningless, though. There's a reason why people go, oh, Trump is the first one to do this. Yeah, because if any other president had done it previously, all the news would be talking about was the cost to taxpayers, that it costs anywhere from $3 to $5 million. By the time you're taking Air Force One out to places, bringing security, sometimes you've got to do, you know, crowds for the motorcade and everything. And again, if any other president does that, we'd be hearing about it. We go, why are taxpayers paying for this? Especially if you're busy cutting, like you said, cancer research. Mm-hmm. And yet we can drop a couple $1 million for Trump to do a lap around Daytona. So yeah, it's smart communication, but it's also pointing out just a super shortcoming in the way the media is handling a guy that supposedly is looking out for taxpayers.
Yeah. But
it's a different world that we live in now. That's,
it sure is.
Just no other way to put it. So Jennifer Schulze will talk to us more about that coming up in just a bit. And just a moment or two after this break, we will pick up with today's history lesson. I haven't done that for a little while. So let me crack this history book open and tell you what happened in music on this day. Coming up right after this on Up North News Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
History lesson for this February 17th, 2025 on Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow here along with Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And it was on this day in 1976, the Eagles released a little album called Their Greatest Hits 1971 to 1975, which has sold nearly 40 million copies. Listen to this lineup, and this is the entire album. Okay, there's Lion Eyes right there. Take It Easy, Witchy Woman,
so good.
Already Gone, Desperado, One of These Nights, Tequila Sunrise, Take It to the Limit, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, Best of My Love, to which I turn to Taylor Swift and go, what do you got? That's
$3 billion.
Well, yeah. That was also, by the way, the very first album I ever bought with my own money. Little 11-year-old Pat Kreitlow heading to the local grocery store where they sold records back then. And I wore this album out.
That album is so interesting because you get it, and like when you're young, like if you have an older sibling or cousin, you get that record and you're like, cool, I can't wait to listen to wait, Hotel California isn't on this album. because they had so many hits before they even got to that record.
Right. Hotel California, if I'm not mistaken, was the next album.
Yeah.
I mean, it followed shortly thereafter, and you're like, okay, these guys aren't done yet.
No.
Until a couple of years later when they were.
And then they weren't.
For 14 years. Yeah, the 14-year break, you know, that's all. We got birthdays today. Ed Sheeran is 34 years old today.
I love this song.
I know, me too. There's so many others that went higher up the charts.
Yeah.
But I really like this one. This is Sing.
I remember Elton John introducing Ed Sheeran at some award show and making a big deal out of it. It was when he was brand new.
Yeah.
And thinking, huh, who's this guy? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he was all right. That.
Who's this tiny bespectacled little ginger?
Right. Let's see. Also, it's two guys were born this day in 1963. Two babies were born. One went on to become Michael Jordan, who is 62 years old today. And in the little bassinet next to him was little Daniel Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, please.
Larry the Cable Guy and Michael Jordan, born the same day. They are 62 today.
Doctors got
these kids.
The doctors got it done that day. Yeah.
Yeah. Actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 44 years old today. That is one versatile man. He's always a good character.
Yeah.
Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day is 53 today. Don't wanna be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new me. Let's see. I think this is from Song Facts. It says he recorded his first song at the age of 5. He dropped out of high school the day before his 18th birthday to record the first Green Day album during the following week. And he did all right for himself after that.
It's great really concert. Sad that this album is relevant again.
Yeah, it is. Let's see. The late Taylor Hawkins was born 53 years ago today. Drummer for the Foo Fighters, passed away back in 2022. A release this day in 1981 was Eric Clapton's 7th solo album, Another Ticket, and it had one chart topper off of it. On this day in 1801, the U.S. presidential election from 1800 was declared to be a tie in the Electoral College between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr, and it was resolved when Jefferson was elected president and Burr vice president by the U.S. House of Representatives.
Burr was like, you want to go back and solve this?
That would happen a little later on with a guy named Alexander Hamilton. Let's see. The number one single on this day, 40 years ago today, was by Wham. Is there anybody that picks up the saxophone as an instrument and doesn't eventually learn to play this? Kind of like, you know, when you're doing guitar and you do Smoke on the Water, you know,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Doesn't everybody with a saxophone try to do this?
But just like the guitar players who try to Smoke on the Water for the first time saxophone players like, I love this song in a way that is like other than other songs. Like I'll never get sick of this song. I can listen to it every day. I can listen to it multiple times a day and be happy. It is so, I love George Michael so much, and Wham. Shout out to my guy, Andrew Ridgely.
That's right.
But I just love the song.
Mm-hmm. You know what else? They are even better now. Like when you look back retrospectively, George Michael was such a good person.
Yep.
But it just makes you love him even more.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Miss him. We got a lot on the calendar today. This is National Engineers Week. This is National Entrepreneurship Week. This is National FFA Week. 26,000 members in Wisconsin.
Nice.
And a real salute to the 360 ag education teachers across the state who are raising the next generation of farmers and other folks working in the food industry. This week is called Real Bread Week. They want you to buy bread that has no additives or is made locally. So shout out to all the people that are making real bread.
Put it in the freezer.
Yeah. This is Cabbage Week. Or no, this National Cabbage Day. This is, everybody's got their thing.
Mm-hmm. It's National Cabbage Awareness Month. How you doing?
It is Café au Lait Day.
Oh, God.
It is Public Science Day, which...
Yay, science.
Yay, science. Did I mention it's President's Day?
Some presidents,
soon to be known as Dear Leader Day, but then we'll remove Public Science Day. But that's on that happy note, we'll let you know that there's much more, including veteran journalist Jennifer Schulze coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio, right after news here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you're up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.